The Goose.
Yeah, let's take it again. We're going to go for the same tune again. We like to play songs over and over on the show. That's our new thing. You might have noticed it a fortnight ago.
Look out now, Goose is on the prowl.
Well, here we are once again. Welcome to the Goose. I haven't even asked Annie yet. Where's our guest?
That's a secret.
Okay, good.
I can't tell you that. When you need to know, you'll know.
I already don't know. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
How are you this fine evening, Annie?
I'm good. Thank you. I feel like when by the time the podcast rolls around, we have. Like, I've had a pretty full evening. Like, events have happened tonight where I feel like I have had a very full day and night.
Yeah. If you're listening to this in podcast form, it's 9:30, so... So, yeah, it's pretty much... It's the end of the day when we are suddenly going to give you one last burst of
energy,
excitement.
Crazy fun.
Yep.
Just when you thought this day couldn't get any more fun.
Yeah. What fun have you had today?
Here it is. Connor and I went and picked out our wedding rings...
Fun. Skulls, twin skulls.
You got it. You
Do
know
they have
us so well.
In them?
His has a beer opener, and mine has a little trick where you pull out, you know, one of those things you get at birthday parties. It goes wah, and the thing unrolls as you blow into it.
The blower.
Yeah. So that has one of those inside the skull mask. You can blow into the back of the skull,
Perfect.
And a little party blower blows out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was helping a friend of ours demolish his house.
Canton, you better tell that story.
So there was a friend of ours was demolishing his house. Annie, the buzzer's over here. He's already in. Our guest is coming. My God, the excitement is mounting. Now I'm sitting here talking to myself as Annie is gone to get... Oh, now he's trying to ring me as well. It's panicked. This wasn't even a good story when I launched into it, but a friend, he's bought a house and he's gutting the place, and so I was helping him over the weekend, and I found this gold ring on the floor, and I was like, this must be a plumbing ring. It can't be somebody's wedding ring, but I just had to check in case I discovered somebody's wedding ring in this house.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it sure was. You missed most of it, but my God, it was amazing.
I know.
Shane O'Reilly, you've made it.
Shane O'Reilly.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. I'm sorry we couldn't give you the warm-up introduction that we normally give our guests.
Okay.
I think you'll do fine just the same.
Isn't it the welcome rap?
The
Annie?
Welcome rap.
Don't you like to do that?
Yeah, I could. It's a live radio podcast and you are our star guest. Don't mess up or else you won't be voted best, because it's the award show tonight and I'm still throwing down my rap. So get ready to have fun, and I've got a brand new hat.
Shit.
How
long have you been writing that song?
I started working on it this morning at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
The second one came in, that second verse just was a gift from God. It just landed as I was rolling.
So what's going on?
So what is going on? Listen, we're here and we're chatting. That's it, basically, Shane. And hopefully we're entertaining enough that we don't lose entirely the audience of the show that came in before us.
Do you have the amount of people that are listening?
There's about 10,531.
Yeah. Or
divide that by 10,530.
Yeah.
One. Point one.
Did you tell anyone to listen?
No.
Then there's nobody listening.
My mom sometimes listens.
What is the name of the radio station?
This is Radio
Maid.
This
is radiomaid.ie. It's an online station that you can go onto.
And listen. So you can tweet that now. You can be like, hey, guess what, bitches?
Bitches. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Was I not actually on right
till
now?
I didn't turn on your microphone. That was stupid of me.
Okay, there we go. Well, here we are.
We do that to the guests as well. Well, welcome now.
Yeah, so you could have heard him echoing from across the room there.
But here I am
now
in full stereo. That's great.
Yeah.
Apologies for being late.
That's okay.
I missed your call.
Where the hell were you?
I was having dinner. Mm-hmm. I had an omelette.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
And I was also having a meeting.
Ooh, can you tell us what the meeting was about?
No, of course not. It was top secret.
Right. Okay.
It was an art meeting.
Shane is an actor.
Yes.
To give him an intro. He's worked on such shows as Follow and Farm. Huge successes.
Yes, I have.
And Follow coming back?
Yes, Annie. It is. And Mark, it will come back to the National Theatre of Ireland.
Exactly. Whoa.
Otherwise known as the Abbey Theatre.
Whoa.
And it will perform on the stage of The Peacock.
The Peacock.
Nice. That is a really good show, so check it out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
What are the dates on that?
It runs from the 27th.
Anyone listening, don't bother.
Don't bother. But I should watch it.
Clue right? into what's going on in that show.
It runs from the 27th of November in The Peacock.
Amazing.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
So your meeting today was about...
Was about the future, of course, future. Which is why people in the arts meet. We don't meet about the past.
No.
We meet about the future.
We move forward.
So yeah. I was meeting about the future and future projects.
Projets.
Yes.
And what did you have in your omelette?
Actually, it was the best omelette I've ever made in my life.
Okay, hit me with it, because I am a good omelette maker and I always like to know what other people do.
Stop the lights.
Okay.
Everyone, stop what you're doing.
Okay.
So I grated some Parmesan cheese into what you would normally whisk cream in, a bowl. And then, on top of that, I put...
Oh, a bowl. That's what you'd normally whisk cream in, isn't it?
That's correct.
What I think of good bowl as...
Spot on, Mark. From there, I put not one, not two, but three handfuls of spinach.
Yeah.
Didn't chop it up, didn't do anything crazy with it, just put it on in there. Yeah, so what have we got in the bowl so far?
Spinach, Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, grated Parmesan cheese. Okay. On top of that, with no regard for what was happening, I threw in half a diced onion.
What? Pink or white?
White.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was Swedish onion.
Okay. Yep.
And then what I put in on top of that was tomato.
Yeah,
I
know. It's really good. I know. And I've done about 45 minutes so far in this omelette. A tomato.
Yeah.
Cherry tomatoes. Chopped it in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then, this is unconventional for me. Then I put in the potatoes that have been boiling, the baby potatoes, which I diced up. So we're in Spanish omelette territory, but it's not because of all the other ingredients that are going on.
Okay.
And lastly, on top of all of this, what looked like a salad, I cracked 6 eggs.
I was going to ask you what the number of eggs, that's always cute.
6.
Wow.
And then I tried to whisk them with all the ingredients that were in there already. Yes. So the whisk was like bashing off the spinach, and I was having to break the spinach with the whisk and wilt it, and the tomatoes were bursting and the Parmesan was still sticking to the side of the bowl.
It sounds so sexy.
Oh my God. By the time I was finished whisking, and then I put it in the pan, and obviously you fry it and then you put it under the grill to do both sides because it was very thick.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
By thick. The end.
That does sound amazing. Now, do you use any condiments on your omelet, like a Tabasco or a...
No.
Hmm.
I did not.
Well then,
Shane
moving on.
Gave Annie a very, very stern look there.
Moving on.
No. No, I will not talk about Tabasco.
No, we're done. We're done now.
Although Tabasco is a great thing. I think it's good.
It is. It's delightful. Great.
So, oh my God, like, this is so exciting. Here we are on radio station.
On the radio station.
And talking to the people of the world.
You got it.
Out there into the ether.
Uh-huh.
We're talking, we decided to talk about awards today.
Oh. I have so many awards.
Wow, wow,
Shane
wow.
Is, well, how many awards have you won?
Like 95.
95 awards. No,
you actually have won some awards. I mean, I'm sure you've won awards, but you've won awards since I've known you, which I don't think
We're now just going to give a long list of all the awards.
No, that's Shane really. I don't want to do that at all. What I want to talk about is what you were going to talk about there, which is really exciting. So let's do that instead, because I'm going to get embarrassed and leave your show.
What?
But because I want to talk about what Mark's going to say.
No, but okay. Oh. This is interesting. We'll get onto that stuff. But it's interesting that you're embarrassed about the awards that you've won. Isn't it? I mean, what, you know, awards. What's all that about? That's
nonsense.
The question we're asking today. Yeah, are they nonsense? Like, do you think it's a pointless venture to make awards? Or are they entirely as an advertisement for, you know, because say a show of yours has won an award, that's going to help it to be seen by more people. So there's use to winning an award in that respect.
There is, but... That would beg the question, who's the award for?
And who's the giver of the award, I always think, as well.
Well, the giver of the award is always pretty straightforward. Like, if it's the Irish Times, or if it's the Fringe, or if it's the good people of the Oscars or whoever, that it's there, that's the award. But it's never really for, like, let's say you're Halle Berry and you were a really pretty booby model, things were going really well, and then you went and did this film Monsters Ball and you had lots of sex with Billy Bob Thornton. And you won an Oscar.
Well, she deserves it for looking like she
exactly she looks like that. But is if we thought that she actually every morning, like, she got up and she took that award off the shelf and she thought, "Fuck me, I'm amazing, and look at this award, and I got this because I'm like," she obviously, if she does that, we say, "What a sap! Like, why would you do that? That's ridiculous."
But at the same time, what's the point in working, you know, towards an award and then just, you know, throwing it in the cupboard?
Because it's not for her. The award is for you when you're in the cinema and it says X-Men starring Oscar award winning Halle Berry. And then you go, that's why she won the award. So that I'll know she won the award and think she's better than she actually is and go and see this film where she's going to be Storm and obviously pretty crap.
Oscar winning Storm,
like Oscar winning Storm, beside Oscar winning Magneto, beside Oscar winning Charles Xavier. But like, that's all the awards are for. They don't give it. Like, I mean, if they start like fantasizing over their awards, then we're going to hate them. We don't like them for their awards. We like them. We like them for being nice, cool people. The awards are not for them. The awards are for being, like, the awards that you win in the Irish Times are not for the people that win the award. I mean, what kind of a dickhead says, I'm not sure if you're 100% aware, but I'm actually an Irish Times Theatre Award winner.
But there's also, there's an affirmation, like, it reaffirms, like, you know, you are actually quite good at this.
For who, though?
For the person who wins the award.
No, for the other people.
No, maybe.
The person who wins the award never thinks they're quite good at it. And if they do, they're probably very bad at it. I think if you think you're good at it for a second, then you go, no, of course I'm not. I'm here in the social welfare office.
You know, we as people create stuff, we are often thinking of ourselves as shit. And so just to win, just even for like 10 seconds, we're like, hey, maybe I am all right at this.
Well, and
I
then you make something crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the problem,
I kind of blame awards for leading me down this garden path of acting and
multi-award
and
winning Annie Gill.
Yeah, because when I was younger, in the three, my middle school, my high school, and my, not actually my high school, my college, my middle school, my college, but I did it kind of in high school, I won acting awards. Like I won all the drama awards. And so it was sort of like, that's what I was good at. I won a few athletic awards as well, but I didn't think I was going to be a successful lacrosse player because I don't play lacrosse anywhere else in the world. But like, that was sort of what sort of, you know, if nobody had been telling me throughout the stages of my growing up that I was good, if not the best in the school at this, I probably would not have done it. And I wouldn't be here.
So it's a curse.
With you. So it's a curse.
So
Annie could have been a surgeon.
I could have been a brain surgeon.
She would have got a mortgage
for a surgery when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You might well done. Yeah. Annie today dissected a raccoon.
Yeah. Just for fun.
But we're going to give her an award because it's a more promising career than constantly awarding her for her acting.
Which obviously is not a good thing because where I was, I just peaked. I peaked at.
No, of course it's 21. A great thing. We can't, it's a great thing to be an actor. I mean, like, we have no money, but it's a great thing. And it's a great thing to be a writer. And it's a great thing to be a creative. But the awards are not for the people that actually win them. The awards are for the sustaining of this nonsense marketing.
No, it's, it's extremely for marketing. But I think, you know, that people can get something from it.
Do you think the Irish Times would give a shit about giving actors awards if they weren't called the Irish Times Theatre Awards? Would the Irish Times go, well, you know what, we don't want our name on these awards because that'd be awful. We're just all about the acting. So let's just call them the Billy Joe Awards, but we'll pay all the money. Like, of course not. The Irish Times are behind the awards because it's called the Irish Times Theatre Awards. Sure. And everybody picks up the Irish Times to read who won the goddamn award. And everyone wants to know who's the best actor in Ireland. And everyone wants to know what Irish Times Theatre Award is won. So the Irish Times wins and all the companies that are going to put you down as an Irish Times Theatre Award winning actor win. But the person who actually wins the award doesn't win at all. They're in the Dole office going, is it okay if I have the Dole?
Some awards carry money with them.
Like one mark one.
Yes. Sure. Well, this is where we move from the world of actors who never win money with their awards.
Or to, you get paid money often. No.
Hey, I did actually an award that I had forgotten. I mean, I hadn't forgotten really, but I wasn't. When we decided to talk about awards today, I didn't think about this one. But I won the... Now I can't remember his name. The Victor Graham Prize for Mathematics in my secondary school. For my
As a disclaimer, say that's not fair because it's not the arts, but go on.
Yeah. So I never came, although I'm pretty good, was always pretty good at maths, and I have a degree in maths, although I didn't do that well in that. But like, I never came top of my class in maths, apart from this one time. Even though, in a way, I'd always make some mistakes, but even though in class, I would always. I often come up with clever ways of doing stuff. In the actual exams, I never came first, apart from in the actual Leaving Cert. So that made me win the Victor Graham Prize for Mathematics. Now, Victor Graham was a maths teacher in my old school, and he died. And to commemorate him, they put together all this money. The next award down was like £100 for
That's
English
how old
or something.
Mark is, by the way.
That's how old
That's
I am.
That's how you know.
It was 900 years
it was seven
old.
Seven farthings and a shiny sixpence. And but the Victor Graham was £1,000.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
For an 18-year-old?
For an 18-year-old.
What?
But the Victor Graham was running the Victor Graham Prize Fund was running out of money. So
someone wasn't
they had
using it correctly.
They had like 1800 and blah blah left in the fund. So they decided, well, will we split that into two 900s or we give that all to one person? They gave it all to one person.
What?
The last winner of the.
Oh my God.
So I got £1,800. Yeah.
I think you forgot the origin of where all these conversations came from, and you've just now told us all how wonderful it is not to work in the arts and make loads of money.
Yeah, as a mathematician, you like, just think. And so how. And then. Yeah, but so he won a money
£1,800
award as well.
That's what, like €5 million?
That, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so
that's
like,
what the exchange rate was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I spent some of that. Yeah, going to Toronto for the summer, and I bought my family the first VCR that we'd ever owned.
Cute. Getting
Everybody
back.
Else owned a VCR, but my parents refused to have one, so I ended up just buying one.
VCR.
So to force.
How much did that cost you? Just out of curiosity.
I think it was like £150 or something.
What?
Not even a drop in the bucket of your your winnings.
£1,800. You like money. Totally lucked out that year.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
I won another award.
Yeah, that's great for you, Mark.
Non-monetary.
Well done on your maths
so
ability.
Funny. I just remembered that I won an award for having high moral character.
No, like this is real... Was that in America, Annie?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
High moral character. How,
and my grandfather, is... my grandfather was giving the.
I think you got
the
shit kicked
address.
Out of you in Ireland in school for having
I
high
would've.
Moral character.
So having a cheerful nature and a good moral character was actually what the award
Definitely,
was for.
Definitely, they beat
and
you up
so
here for that.
They gave out the awards, and my grandfather was giving the commencement address that year at the school, and he opened his award saying, "I can't believe my granddaughter's just gotten an award for being cheerful with good moral character." He said, "Because I just lie my way through life, basically," and then he kicked off into a speech from there.
But that is so subjective. Like,
oh,
that is like
totally. And there
you're
were also
viewing somebody's life.
There
and
were
judging
also,
that. That's not even like your ability to act or how well you did in that film or like that exam or that race. That is looking at your life and saying,
yeah,
you are
better than
you
that
are a
person.
Better person.
Totally.
Than that
Luckily,
person.
There were only 25 people in the class that I was better than, but I am definitely
better than them.
Yeah.
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 But moral character.
It also was probably
the
all of the encouragement that the other 124 people needed to succeed in life.
Yeah.
And they're all like
they
Barack
like,
Obama was in
like
your
her.
Class.
Oh, yeah.
Hillary Clinton.
Angela
Nelson
Lansbury.
Mandela. Hidden Angela Lansbury. Jennifer Aniston.
Yep.
Stephen Hawking. Much. They were all your classmates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny because up until then they were all kind of these people that really didn't.
Very low moral
They weren't
character.
Up. Yeah,
moral,
not up to a whole
moral
lot.
Character, not very cheerful.
Yeah.
No,
Karl Marx,
awful,
was he in your class?
People.
He was.
He was, yeah. And it's really interesting just the way things turn around. You know, Alcott and Brown. Those two boys,
is,
you know,
all they
back
needed
the class.
Was a little bit of.
Yeah, Annie Gill won that award for being better than everyone else without any rules or any stipulated competition. And what do you know?
Ding.
I like that Angela Lansbury is in that list.
She was there, yeah.
Yeah, she was there.
Trying to think of people.
Annie contributed
really
Angela Lansbury. I was going through the books that I've read of note recently that have... I was going to say my next one was Steve Jobs.
Okay.
But I thought...
You know, he was the year ahead of me.
Posthumously. Well, there's a lot of posthumous. Yeah. Steve Jobs. Oh.
Oh, bless.
Aw.
Oh.
Cute.
Oh, Steve Jobs.
Yeah, but so I guess we're all kind of agreed that awards are kind of shit.
Well... I don't know. Yeah. Or is it awards
shit?
Are okay.
Because it's shit to win an award and then to not be...
Also in Ireland, you're embarrassed when you win the award. Like, you're more... like, exactly when you said at the beginning, you were like, Shane, and I was like, no, I'm absolutely mortified. Because it's fucking mortifying. I don't know. Are you allowed to say bad words?
Yeah.
Okay, great. It's fucking mortifying. Like, you win the award and everyone's looking at you and they think, oh, well, he thinks he's fucking better than everybody else now. And watch him. And you're up on stage trying to give... You're frantically thinking of the smile that will say, oh, I'm mortified to have this award, but not ungrateful because that's really bad as well. And how do I phrase things that I don't sound like an absolute arsehole, but that I sound like this is an accident and it happened all by accident. And I honestly, I don't know how this came about, and I'm very lucky. It's like the lotto. It's fine to win the lotto because you didn't... You're not an asshole if you win it. It was an accident.
It was nothing you did.
Exactly. But by God, if you've worked for 6 years on a project and you win an award for it, you have to stand up and look like it was an absolute accident from beginning to end.
And,
you're mortified that anybody thought it was any good. And my God, I hope it's all over quick enough. And then they say, we'd like to remount it next year. And you say, please do not do that. I'd be mortified.
It's terrible.
I do not want any money for this.
Dreadful.
Do not pay me money.
Stop paying me. Don't be ridiculous. Don't give me money.
Just
stop it. Back off. And stop giving me awards and don't tell me I'm any good, because I'll be so embarrassed I won't be able to leave the house. And you go home and you like beat yourself over the back with oranges so they don't bruise, and you go to bed.
With oranges so they don't bruise. These are my awards. These are the awards.
These
that
are
I
the
win,
awards that I deserve.
That I deserve.
That's the way oranges. We were trained.
I think I enjoyed winning any awards that I've won. I haven't felt that.
But also, yours mostly have a nice little bit of money attached to them.
I guess so. I guess
so. That would be nice. Like, I would be very happy to.
But my problem is
euros.
That I disagree with every award that's given out. I'm like, give it to that person. What the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, but then when
Shane
you win it,
Riley has won an award.
Okay, wait,
Jesus,
hold on a second.
Christ.
Let's
sorry, what?
Christ, what
again. The eighth
thing?
One.
It's a sweep. No, but even the fringe, like. The Fringe Awards, which were the most recent ones, came out the other night. And that, it's like just looking at the nominations for some of the things, it's like brilliant, great. And then some things you're going, did we all see the same show?
That's a very interesting question for me, because I was thinking about this earlier on. Would you believe I had put thought into this? Absolutely.
For hours,
all day. That's where I really was. I wasn't eating my dinner. I was at home panicking, thinking I'm not worthy. I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe they've asked me. What I was thinking about was the idea of fair awards, which for me are even worse than awards, which is when you turn up and it feels like it's primary school and that there's 34 children in the class and there are 34 awards, and you can bet your bottom dollar that everyone only won one, and that there wasn't one person who won 18 awards and loads of people who won nothing.
Yeah.
And some awards feel like fair awards.
As
where
in
there,
one show didn't sweep the board. Is that what you're
because,
saying?
Yeah, because that's not fair.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes you think, do you know what? That show should have won all of those awards because that was the only show that deserved all the awards. But they
award.
Go, well, no, if that show won this award, then we'll say, okay, that's them out of the running, and then we'll go and see who else is
in. They do that on all the awards, because I feel like in the Academy Awards, especially recently, they've been doing that as well, where the Best Picture winner will not have won in the director, writing, acting.
It's become
categories.
This is, that's what I was thinking about earlier,
like,
on when I thought about it.
You can't be a Best Picture if you haven't won Best Director, Best Writing, Best, or at least some of those other ones.
Like, yeah, but those, I mean, those surely can't be, I mean, unless they rig them, because that's independent voting. It's not like a group of judges are sitting around and saying, ah, let's be fair.
Yeah, but I don't think it's rigged, but I think that it's not exactly fair.
Everybody's
either.
Sitting at home and trying to be fair and be like, well, I'll give this Best Picture and this one I really
the Oscars
like
is
that,
a bit. The Oscars is done by a panel, isn't it?
No.
It's there's like,
the
I'd say 160 people voting.
Oh, no, I think it's more than that, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't think it's as many as you think it is, but I think it's a lot of people. Probably is more than that, actually.
Well, they've started to feel a little bit fair.
Yeah, they definitely feel fair. They definitely feel
But I guess, yeah, also, like, if you have a smaller group of judges and they're actually, they're having a dialogue amongst each other, our natural social obligation to be fair.
And also, they don't want to be seen to being favoring anybody as well, because it's like...
Well, can you imagine if you went to, like, the Fringe Awards and they were like, this year, the winner of Best Show is Annie Gill for The Flower, and Best Actress is Annie Gill for The Flower, Best Design, Annie Gill in The Flower, Best Direction, Annie Gill for directing herself in The Flower, Best...
I can't wait to see the show, by the way.
The Flower's meant to be really good.
I heard it's amazing.
Guess what it's about.
I thought maybe it was a flower.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. It sounds amazing. It just sounds amazing.
It's beautiful. It's about peace. But I think there's people would say, that's ridiculous. And how could she hold all those awards?
And then I really
she must
would
be so mortified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would be mortified in that stage. Because I think Americans would tend less to have that mortification thing because we're raised to feel like we're the best and we can do anything we want. And aren't we all brilliant? So I think we tend less to the, oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh,
don't look
stop.
At me.
No, stop. No,
but then I think we have an opposite problem, which is like we would be very proud of ourselves and, you know, grateful as well, but also then like expect to then have that lead to something else, and often awards don't lead to anything else.
No, they don't, apart from the person who's in the producing the show that you're in that says great.
Yeah.
Myself and some friends were nominated for an award. We nominated ourselves really years ago.
That's the best way to do it.
It was called the Student Media Awards, and there was Best Comedy Script, and we submitted a play of ours, which we did in Players. It's called the Freshers Co-op, if anybody knows what a Freshers Co-op is.
I was in one.
We were all in one.
We are all alumni of the co-op.
Yeah. So it's a big show anyway, with 45 people. It doesn't really matter. But it's kind of a panto kind of show almost.
How dare you? Mine was like Pinter.
It's very the essence of art. So anyway, we submitted the script and we got in as finalists for this thing. And it was on in Vicker Street.
Was there anybody else in the competition?
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, really, I mean, we did not win, but I don't know what the other scripts were. It was the first year of the Student Media Awards or something. I don't know. Anyway, somehow we got in. Now, it was on in Vicker Street, and Vicker Street has these tables with four seats attached to them.
They're so uncomfortable.
There was four nominees, and you all had to sit. Yet one from your team had to sit with the other nominees, and they had a camera pointing. When your award comes up, they pointed your table.
Oh, God.
So I kind of arranged the sign for our table, so it was blocking my face away from the camera, so I didn't have to worry about that. But so there was four of us wrote this play, but I was the first one there at the Student Media Award, so I ended up sitting at the table. The other lads were sitting down the back. Little did I know, for the whole thing I was oblivious, but Thomas and Davey had got hammered before coming to the awards. The awards are like 7 o'clock. They arrive in a taxi. They fall out of the taxi, literally. They land on the street. They stumble into the club. We were kind of in one area, and they, the actual nominees were in one area waiting to go in, and they go into the main area of Vicker Street. Thomas was apparently marching up and down the stage, drunk, before anybody gets in. Then they sat him down, and he's sitting at the back with Duck and Davey. Comes around, the whole show happens, this award. I think Dara Breen was presenting them. Comes to our category, and the winner is some other guy. We don't win. And apparently, Thomas was outraged and tried to storm the stage. Like, he got up, what the fuck, and tried to storm the stage as the other fucking little comedy writing nerd went up and collected his award. And Duck and Davey were just pulling him back, like, getting him to sit.
I think
in
I
seat.
Know who Duck is.
But I think that's
probably
the... I think that is what needs to happen at the Irish Times Theatre Awards. I think that's...
People just
but
shouting,
that's, like,
fuck.
I was going to say that in our... Like, this is why we don't host big awards. Like, the Academy. Because of that nonsense. Can you imagine sitting in France and being like, there's the awards now, and there's a drunk man running up and down the stairs, fighting with everybody.
Do you remember though, the IFTAs?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, by the time an hour into the program, people were, you could hear
shouting.
No one shouting at each other in the audience. So like,
can you imagine if someone tuned in from Latvia and they were like, I just want to have a look at what goes on in Ireland, because, you know, people always say they're drunk and they're always falling around screaming and shouting, but I don't want to believe that. stereotype. That's ridiculous. Let me just tune into RTE One. It's their big award night for film and television in Ireland. And you turn it on and it's like a load of pigs off their face on fucking coke rolling around their own shit. Yeah. That's what it probably looked like. If the camera panned through the audience, that's what it looked like.
That would be world class then. That would be worth, everyone would tune in. That's the
they wouldn't though. They'd be like, that's the Irish.
No, yeah, they would be brilliant if everyone was fucking hammered.
But then, so you're saying maybe the Irish, maybe the Irish should just go fully into.
If somebody was storming the stage,
the culture of these.
No, somebody else. Everyone in the world
be mayhem. But they have
that.
That's called like the WWF or like they tune in and be like, oh, what's that Irish famous person wearing? And it's like a necklace of her own vomit, and like the man beside her is like ripping the trousers off her, and it's a mess. Yeah. Like.
But instead, the film awards are like, and the best international film goes to Mel Gibson. And it cuts to him, and he's like, I couldn't give a fuck. Like, he's practically saying that down the camera. Like, obviously, I'm not there. Like, I couldn't give a shit about this award. I want to win the Oscar. Nobody gives a shit about it.
Of course they don't give a shit.
But people
give everyone around
a shit
them locked.
About these awards. That would be something special if they were all hammered.
Well, I could see how much crack it would be. But the Americans have a different kind of crack, don't they? Like, their kind of crack is Ellen DeGeneres taking her iPhone out of her pocket. It's so, like, within the boundaries crack. It's like, oh my God, if we get any more PC with the crack we're going to have to stop calling it crack and in case people think it's a drug. Yeah. And she heads into the audience. She's like, hey, everyone with your perfect look, let's fall into this. Oh, it looks like it's random, but it couldn't possibly be random. Selfie that we're going to take where everyone's having the absolute C rack down the lens of the camera. And then we'll call it a night. And the fucking, all the journalists of America will write and tweet and broadcast everyone. About it for 6 or 7 weeks afterwards about how much of a holocaust it was watching Ellen DeGeneres take a picture of all these really sexy people down the lens of her fucking goddamn iPhone. Whereas in Ireland, if they were to actually go, lads, we're going to see what it'll be like to have a bit of crack and let loose and show the people of the world what we look like, they probably wouldn't be able to broadcast it because it would be so disgusting. There'll be people like shitting into women's pints when they weren't looking, and women like drinking the feces of the D-lister fucking theatre artist.
It'll be like that, do you know that video of the train to Galway? It's like, have you seen that video where there's like a trad band playing and there's a fella, like everyone's just jumping around the train and there's a fella tap dancing on one of the tables, and this is from like last year.
Of course it is. I have a picture I wish we could show on the radio. I was coming back the other day from Belfast and my friend said, what's going on in your train? And I was like, oh, to be honest, it's a bit of a nightmare. And she was like, what's going on? And I was like, well, there's a stag party down the back of the train. This was at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, all dressed in Baywatch gear, women's Baywatch gear.
Yeah.
And
obviously,
they were all like having the best time of their life. Meanwhile, there were young school children getting the train home from school in Dundalk or wherever the hell's bells they live, and going from like one random satellite town to another. And I was stuck between kids panicking over their second year exams. And then we turned around and there was a guy whose bollocks were hanging out either side of the Pamela Anderson like swimsuit. And he was doing a military crawl, giving himself train carpet burn on his bollocks, going up while holding the lifesaver. And they had actually the authentic red ones, you know, the ones that look like
the
mini surfboards.
Yeah.
That he had one of those over his head and dragging his balls along the Éireann Road Éireann carpet down towards a collection of 12 and 13 year old children who are like trying to figure out maths, you know, like Pythagoras's goddamn theorem.
People wonder what's wrong with this country, and I'm like, I don't know.
That's what would happen at the award ceremony.
Right with this country. This, speaking of which, that fella deserves
I have a picture of it.
That fella deserves an award.
Because I'm Irish as well, and I thought this is the absolute crack.
We'll try and get that picture.
God, I want to see the picture. I want to see his bottom.
We'll try and get that picture. You're shouting right into the microphone.
Stay away from the microphone.
Pull back from the microphone a little bit.
I love shouting. Call me Foghorn Fat Neck.
We'll try and get that picture for this week's episode if you email it to me, Shane.
I will.
Okay, so we decided to come up with some awards.
Lol.
I'm sure there's no time for this now, but I came up with some categories earlier, and then we're going to try and see who has the best nominee in that category, and then we'll decide who the hell wins.
Yeah.
Okay? So the first category is Best Acting in Real Life. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have a nominee of a story about them where they acted in real life? So this is like, lying to somebody or faking something.
First of all, can I just say I did it today.
Yeah, okay, tell me.
Show. You're not actually going to believe this is fucking true, and I really hope that the people who I did it to aren't listening.
I guarantee they're not.
I was in a moment of desperation yesterday. I have a couple of weeks before I start another gig, and I was bored. And on Job Fairy on Twitter, I saw, I'm not going to say where or what, because that's a good way to do it, but I saw that a job was offered, and I applied for that job with a completely made up CV. Utterly made up. I am not qualified for that job. Just for funsies.
With your name on it.
With my name on it, yeah. And my photograph. I put my photograph on it too. And I got a phone call yesterday evening asking me to come for interview today. This morning, 12:30.
Is it an acting job? Or
no.
Real
it is
job?
In the real world. Wow. A job that I am utterly unqualified for. I do not have the qualifications for this job.
None of these skills.
None. So I spoke to it's a new organization that is setting up that requires specific skills. And so last night my partner wanted to know what I was doing, and what I was doing was using Wikipedia to equip myself with what I needed to get myself through the interview. And today at 12:30, I arrived into a room with about 7 or 8 other men, all in their 40s and 50s, who looked like they had a shitload
of kids and a shitload of money.
I was in a suit.
What?
And I was in a lovely tie that maybe said, he's a bit jauntier than
Can you
than
even
your
give us
man.
A hint as to what field this is in?
No.
Medical science?
No, it's not. It's...
it's breast augmentation.
Should people be worried about the doctor that they meet before they go in for an operation?
What did you say was wrong with you?
Did you say your name was Shane O'Reilly?
I don't want this. I don't want the surgery.
You've got a lump.
Where?
Doctor.
Yeah, I'll find it. And so I went to the interview, and there was a panel of 5 people.
Yeah.
In a room, in a very posh, disgustingly designed room that I walked into, and I shook all of the... I was just telling my friend about this earlier on. I couldn't have been more confident because I didn't give shit. And I bounced into the room. I whipped my jacket off. There was one woman who had a bit of a snout on her. She was a bit snooty.
Yeah.
And I pretended that my little task for her in my head, my little game, was that I could never hear what she was saying. And so when I was going along the names, I was like, hello, her name was... I can say her name. Her name is Caroline. And I made her say her name 3 times because I pretended I couldn't hear what she was saying. And so I met the first 2 people, and then she said her name in her little bitchy way, and I said, I'm really sorry, what did you say? And she said it again, and I said, I'm so sorry,
Caroline.
What was it? And she was like, Caroline. And I was like, oh, Caroline, okay, great. And I did the other 2, and we sat down, and anytime she spoke to me through the interview, I would say, I'm really sorry, what was that? And I made her repeat so much of what she said. She was furious. And I went through the whole interview.
God,
I know.
Amazing.
I know. It was very good.
I wish you'd been filming.
I should have. And then I did it. The whole interview lasted 40 minutes, would you believe? I was in there. There was one point when I sweated because I did start to panic, but it was fine. Got through the whole thing, left. A lovely Latvian woman took me down the stairs, told me she thought it had gone very well. I said, thank you very much. And walked back into the... turns out there was another guy there at the interview called Shane as well, because when they said Shane, we both turned our heads, and then I had a bit of a laugh with him about it. He looked like a man who had 6 kids and an awful lot of debt that was really hoping this worked out today. I clearly am a man that has no kids, maybe a little bit of debt, but really did not give a flying fuck about whether they offered me the job or not, because I cannot do it. I am not legally obliged or qualified to do a job like this. And then I got home to my partner, who was expecting me to come back, escorted by the police, and walked to the door and said, I wouldn't be surprised if I got the job. It went that well.
I bet
well done.
Would not be surprised if tomorrow you get a call saying,
I believe
congratulations.
I was told there's one other round of interviews.
Mm. Oh, and would you go back?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have that's probably when they would ask for the qualifications that I do not have.
So they didn't ask you anything technical about the actual thing that
they
you
asked me about
by.
My personality. They asked me about my history within the field. Which
well,
I
looking
had...
at your qualifications, Mr. O'Reilly, you obviously know everything about the subject. So let's just cut down to
cut down. They asked me about my previous job experience, and I listed all the places that I had worked. It was really great.
Amazing. I don't think I can't even come close.
You've nothing. No, I mean, no. I think this is a poor second, but at the moment, I'm flat hunting and I'm trying to look like there's so many people looking for so few flats that even though the place is a crap hole and it's far too much money for it, you still have to pretend like, yeah, great. Yeah, we'd love this. Please put us down. Oh, we'd be really good tenants. Because you can't just be like, this is a fucking shithole. Because then they'll be like, they will say, well, he's obviously not going to take care of this place. Look at him, he's disgusted by the place. So you have to be impressed by their crappy places. There was a place today, there was like 30 people standing outside it, and it was...
Oh, it's so stressful.
Bananas, it smelt weird. One of the lights didn't work. I tried to make a joke to this girl.
It was a
this
dead other girl in the corner.
Who was like checking out the place. And she was like, oh, the light doesn't work in here. Yeah, it's kind of small, this room.
That sounds like the start of a sex film.
As she left, I said, yeah, well, it'd be great for developing photos. And she just looked at me like, what? Who the fuck are you?
What are you doing here? Like, I'm here for
I guess
home.
I'm just a guy. Anyway, best of luck. So, yeah, so that's my acting, is trying to look like I actually give a shit about these awful places that I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah.
So who wins that round?
Well, definitely Shane.
Yeah. Shane.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Like,
I'm mortified. I couldn't possibly win. No, it has to be Mark.
Yeah, so, like,
no.
I do. I've never. Please. I've always wished that I had the gumption to do something like that. To
do
be,
it.
Like, I'm an actor, so I'm just going to go out in the world and act and pretend that I'm someone else.
It was the best fun I have had, I promise you, in years. I've done all the things that are supposed to be brilliant fun, like drink and do. This was the best crack I've had getting ready for it. I thought it was going to be so much fun going down there. You know when you go for an audition and you're really scared because you actually want the job?
Yeah.
Going into something that you can't possibly have the job, and you're like wondering, will they ever find you out? It was the best fun ever. Maybe. Pretending I couldn't hear Caroline all day. She was talking so loudly. It was the best crack ever.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Okay, our next category is, well done Shane, I'm winning that award.
Yes.
Yeah. Bullshit.
Put
never
that beside my other awards.
Most useful song. Most useful song. Do you have any nominees for this?
The first thing that sprang into my head when I saw this earlier was Single Ladies, because there's not a moment when Single Ladies does not get everybody up out of their seats on a dance floor, no matter what kind of party it is. Like, every time you think it's not going to happen, it comes on and it's like, oh, fucking Beyonce, whatever. End of the song, everyone is on the dance floor. It could now be Happy, but...
I would more dance at Happy than Single Ladies.
And Happy are...
Very good.
Because people
single
do
ladies
it.
And maybe leave the
ironically,
dance floor.
People do it. It's... You think it's never going to work.
Yeah.
And it
works.
Always works. It's weird.
My nominee is kind of an embarrassing story. So I was attracted to this lady, and but it's not going to go well. So this was quite a few years ago, probably like 10 years ago or something. Anyway, she lived in Scotland, and she had a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Know her.
But the boyfriend, do you know what I'm talking about? The boyfriend, she was like, oh, I'm getting rid of him. No, he's going. And then there was a point where I was
going
to go to Scotland to visit someone else. And then that kind of fell through. So I went.
No, you weren't. You were going to Scotland.
Yeah, I wanted to visit her. She was like, well, hey, come over and visit me instead if you want to just have a trip. I was like, all right, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Went over hoping the boyfriend was gone at this point. The boyfriend was there. The boyfriend met me off the bus. So then it was like, what? Yeah. Then there was kind of like, the boyfriend was like, who is this fucking guy coming over and just visiting my girlfriend out of the blue? Until I disarmed him through song. By coming out of the pub that night, I sang Where's Me Jumper to him. And there was a couple of other Irish people there who knew the song. So I just said, hey, let's just go. Just started singing it as I was going down the road. And then after that, he was like, ah, this guy's fucking gay. Yeah, he's a gas. Ah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah, whatever.
Was he
this
guy, Irish himself?
No, he was
Scottish?
English. He was English. Okay. Yeah. So that was...
And are they still together?
No. They broke up that night. They broke up the next night.
Wow.
Did you score the two of them?
Yeah.
No.
I love that. You're like, I don't want to hurt anyone here, so... Yeah.
So, fairs, evens.
Evens. Come on. Okay,
come
let's
on,
go.
I'll score you both.
Gosh, see, useful song. I would say, you know, something... You need a song that's going to get you out of a situation, or like that's going to...
Or is there any that... Yeah, get you out of a situation like me, or is there any that helps you remember something?
No, I don't... My brain doesn't work
like
that.
I tried to write a song... that would have the table of elements in it.
Oh yeah.
Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, neon, and oxygen.
Boring.
I can remember the first
boring
of them.
And then you're screwed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a song that you would have made me look cool when I was younger. You know, a song where you're kind of
Gangster's Paradise was very useful for me when I was younger because people didn't think I would be into that kind of music, like rap music about the Valley of Death. Mm. But whenever I could do that rap, or Missy Elliott, actually,
anything
that she had with those catchy raps Super about freak. Her concha, which took me years to figure out what she was talking about. Obviously, her vagina.
Maybe it was working subconsciously on your brain. And you knew all
is that
along.
Like,
yeah.
Hmm.
That's what she was talking about.
Yeah,
what's the song?
Yeah, yeah.
Her concha. She's always talking about her concha.
Her concha. I don't listen to Missy
anyway,
Elliott.
Anyway, Missy Elliott's come back into my life recently. She turned up on Spotify and I realized what a genius.
Yeah,
where'd she go? But so I guess, you know, like Get Your Freak On or Gangster's Paradise would have been useful for me as a youth trying to prove that I wasn't this boy's own loving or you know when they tried to be cool when perhaps you reference something like what's that boom 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 song or like
I
No Limit
in my womb.
Boom
no not the Venga Boys
oh boom shake, like, shake, boom shake boom
shake the room
something, any one of those
Fresh
and people think that's in not cool song. Like nobody gets stabbed when they sing those songs and you're like well what about Missy Elliott or Gangster's Paradise, you know, or what about Tupac? So I guess those songs would have been useful for me in terms of just becoming one of the cool. I mean, it didn't really work, but I guess it was useful.
Well, I think you've destroyed your own nomination there.
I have, haven't I?
Who? Okay, so
Canton wins that one.
Yeah, Shane, you won that award.
Yeah, I win.
It's very good.
We're running out of time here. Annie, did you organize that quiz or did you want to do another round of this?
Let's do another round of this. I don't have a quiz, but I do have a question in terms of awards, but.
Oh,
go ahead.
Do you want to hit your question?
No, we'll do this one first. What time is it?
Yeah, we got 8 minutes left.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have time for one.
Okay, the next category is most important person you've embarrassed yourself in front of. Any nominations?
Yeah, I did think of something earlier on, and then
I the animal one better.
Oh, okay, we're going to go to the animal one. Most courageous encounter with an animal.
I was throwing a dinner party back in 2002 at my sister's house in Dublin 8. And the one job we had to do while she was away for the weekend was to feed the fish. And she had two beautiful goldfish, which were the inspiration for her screenplay that she was just making into a movie at that time, or she'd just finished making into a movie, and these fish had featured in the film. And they were up on top of the refrigerator in the kitchen to keep up the counter space away and give us more space. And so we fed the fish. I had this big dinner party, decided not to clean up that night, you know, go to bed, stacked all the plates around the kitchen, came down in the morning, started cleaning up, turned around. One of the fish was on the floor of the kitchen, on the floor, on the cold tiles. I lost my shit, screamed for my younger sister who was up in the room, called my older sister on the phone. She says, "Don't worry about it. He's done this before. Kamikaze goldfish." She said, "If he hasn't been on the floor too long, you can pick him up, put him in a different bowl, give him a few drops of rescue remedy, and he probably will come back to life." And I thought, for sure, there's no way this fish is coming back to life.
Yeah.
The fish came back to life.
No way.
The fish did not live long after it came back to life, and it definitely had a wonky thing. I think it had been out too long.
It had developed some sort of mental illness.
It was swimming on its side.
Had brain damage because it lacks it off.
I'm actually
oxygen.
Not sure. And when I say it came back to life, like who knows how long just the nerves.
Could have been just spasms.
Got going. Anyway, that was my rescue a fish story.
Wow.
Well done. Courageous. Shane, do you have anything?
I have an opposite one.
Okay, please.
I know this one.
I didn't rescue as so much as murder. Well, like,
I'll take set it. Free from the shackles of this mortal coil or whatever.
Well, this is more like manslaughter. You know, like I would do like an Oscar, what's his face on it. But when I was, I know, like current affairs. When I was two, we were given a dog, a beautiful dog from my grandmother called Tara. And we were very excited to have Tara, and it was my birthday present. And it was one of those expensive dogs that had lots of long, poofy fur and a little snout and a gold and black body of fur and snout. This is a really good description, isn't it? Guess what I work in? and so we had the dog, and it was a wonderful thing. And we had it a little while. And then I used to have a playroom upstairs before my sister came into the world. which is then her bedroom. And so in this room, I was had all my stuff, my things, and I had drawers, lots of drawers and playthings. And my parents, who are both deaf, had decided it might be nice to leave me and the dog to play in the playroom for a little while. So they put the dog in the room, closed the door, and went downstairs. And they left me in the room with the dog for about an hour, during which time my mother hypothesizes that I rode around on the dog's back around the room, pulled all of, or at least 80% of the hair out of the dog's body, scared the shit out of the puppy, and then put him in a tiny drawer and shut the drawer. And when they came back up, I was like this puffing red 2-year-old, exhausted. The room was covered in dog hairs all over the place, and my mum couldn't find the dog. And she was like, holy shitballs.
Where completely is the ripped puppy? The dog apart.
Like it did look like I had crawled into the dog and then like blown out of him, like some sort of Mortal Kombat character. And so she searched and searched. And of course, as the mischievous, manslaughtering 2-year-old I was, I wasn't disclosing anything. And then eventually they came across the dog in one of the drawers. My mum took it out, and the dog was still alive, breathing.
Barely, but
this is awful. Barely. Like, and it was pretty traumatized, like the anti-Marley and me. And so my mum took the dog downstairs and let the dog out into the garden to get some air. And she said her and my dad watched the dog walk around in 2.5 almost perfect circles on the little patio, and then as it was making its headway into its third circle, it just keeled over on its side and died.
Oh my god.
I can't believe that you weren't attacked by it. I can't believe the dog didn't fight back at all.
It was pretty small.
Yeah, but dogs know about that kind of thing.
And I was a beast.
If you know, they're now, careful around babies.
I'm telling this story proudly. It's a disgusting story of parental neglect and a 2-year-old high off his head and trans fats, obviously.
It was the start of your Dexter-like career. First animal that you killed, you kind of got that bloodlust.
And do you not remember it at all? Like,
remember a thing, no. I have images in my head, but I'm quite sure they're constructed from
poor
the stories.
Poor Caroline is tied up in your basement. You're just like, what's that?
I'm actually keen to get back to her because
please let me go, please.
I put a hoover in her mouth when I left. And I'm just concerned about how long it takes before you suck all the air out of people's lungs.
Yeah.
I've been reading a little bit of Robert Galbraith, and I just am inspired by the murders.
I'm going to quickly nominate my flatmate rather than me, who adopted a magpie that she found had fallen out of its nest. For 6 weeks, it was in our flat. It was flying around her room. She had newspaper all over her room where the magpie was just shitting everywhere. And on the last day when she let it go, it woke her up at 6 a.m. by pecking her legs. And she was like, all right, that's it. You're out of here, magpie.
I can't believe she did that, but I think she's a nutter. She's a nutter.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, I think Annie should win this one.
Yes.
So everyone's got an award.
It's
an
fair award.
We should be fair.
I was just about to say this should be fair.
Okay,
I think it should
Natalia's
be fair awards.
Here, so
yeah, it's great. Yeah, and everyone leaves with the same amount of self-esteem.
Yeah, we're all going to go home very proud of ourselves now.
Well, I won't, because you've just reminded me of the horrific crime I committed.
Yeah. And all the awards.
I would be in the papers, I think, today. The Journal would have picked it up.
Oh, for sure.
Annie, can you ask your question in a way that we can answer it in one word?
You know how they give out the Darwin Awards for people who kill themselves in crazy ways? Does anyone know anyone who's done any like killed themselves in a really stupid way? Or heard any story of, like, you know,
I think
someone.
There was a man down the road who drank himself to death.
hilarious.
Oh, dear. Well, he did. No, he died. He was a single man, lived alone with his dogs. And this isn't how he died, really. But when we went away, my parents went over to him and was like, listen, you have dogs. Will you just take care of our dog? Just let him out for a walk. Take him for a walk once a day or feed him, that kind of stuff. He's like, no problem. And so then we went to France, we came back, we gave him some wine as a thank you, and apparently he was very sheepish when he accepted the wine. Turned out that he had drunk our wines. Like, there was under the stairs, let's call it a wine cellar, there was all these bottles, he'd drunk them all. He couldn't stop himself.
Aww.
Yeah. Poor fella. So he was very embarrassed about that he drank all
but
our wine. But he's dead now.
Yeah, so he actually
drank himself to death.
I don't know anybody who died in a crazy, horrific, they did it themselves, kind of. They were so stupid that they died.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the Darwin Awards.
I know, I've heard lots of stories of people falling into slurry pits, which are just pools of shit.
Yeah, which would be drowning. An awful way to die.
It's an yeah. I don't know how stupid it is, though. Well, I mean, stupid to fall, isn't it?
Unless... Or to hang out around a slurry pit is not the smartest thing in the world either.
No.
I mean, if you have to work around one, that's a different story.
I was there. My cousin fell into one once and we pulled her out. We tied ropes to the back of the car and we had to drag her out of it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she was pretty... Like, it's like quicksand. You slowly sink down.
Oh, my
sexy.
God.
Okay, well, on that disturbing image, shit covered
people.
Get out of here.
Shit-covered
but,
people.
But thank you very much for being on the show, Shane.
Thanks
well, God,
for
what
being
a pleasure. I'm so excited.
Absolute pleasure.
I like
yeah.
Great. An award.
Do it again.
We will give you an award.
You're going to get an award for this for sure.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Best guest.
Here to
you're
blaze
our best
out
audience.
Is some more, is a reward.
That's a burp.
Reward.
I hope.